I'm not using the PowerPoint today, so I'd like you to open your scriptures up to Psalm 142. They tell us a number of reasons why little babies cry. They're hungry, they're cold, they want to be held. But one of the reasons is they just feel overwhelmed. They just can't take it anymore. Okay. They're lying there in that same position hour after hour. Maybe no one's turned them over on their side. They have nothing but that little mobile thing hanging up in front of them. And they just can't take it anymore. One of the reasons is because they're overwhelmed. Yes, we get overwhelmed even in our infancy, and it doesn't stop, does it? There are things that overwhelm us that come like a flood. And this is what David is praying about, talking about, ministering to us about Psalm 142 and Psalm 143. Notice in verse 3, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. And he says here, thou knewest, or you know, my path. In other words, God knows when we're going to be overwhelmed. God knows that we do get overwhelmed. God knows there are times when we just can't take it anymore. And what did David do? David did, as little children did, he cried out. And I want to share with you nine things that we do when we're overwhelmed with a problem, with a sickness, with a financial difficulty. David here tells us 9 things in these 2 chapters that he does when he is overwhelmed. Again, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. Let's go to verse 1. The first thing he did, I cried unto the Lord. He didn't cry to his neighbors or to his friends or to the psychologist or to his banker. He cried to the Lord. That's the first place we go when we feel we can't take it anymore. When we don't know what to do. Perhaps with our family, with our children, with our finances. We cry unto the Lord with my voice. So he was quite audible. It wasn't just a quiet prayer. He'd get away somewhere, okay? And he'd cry out to God. Loudly, I'm sure. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. That's the first thing he did. In being the first thing that we do, we're saying, God, you have the solution. You have the remedy. I cannot get out of this predicament. I cannot really change my course, even though I've tried. And then he says in verse 2, this is the second thing, I poured out my complaint before him. I showed him my troubles. So this crying out that David made, that we should make, is not just insensible, not just babbling, not just saying, God, I need help, but actually beginning to define our troubles to him. Lord, these are my troubles. I pour out my complaint. I showed him my trouble. Could be a person that's troubling you. Could be your body is troubling you. Show him your troubles. That's what David did. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, I cried unto the Lord, and I showed him, told him of my troubles. Then we go to chapter 143, verse 5. I remember the days of old. Number 3. I remember other times that you have delivered me out of my troubles. I remember the time that I was guilty of adultery and murder. And I cried unto you for forgiveness, and you brought me out of that trouble. Remember, David should have been stoned to death. The prophet Nathan was waiting for him to confess, to repent. And said, the Lord will not kill you, right? He has also put away your sin. You will not die. So David is rehearsing the many times that God has delivered him from the Philistines when he marched down into that valley against Goliath. I'm sure there was a little bit of knee shaking there and trembling and teeth rattling. I'm sure there was a little bit of fear, but he had to overcome that fear. Yea, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And that's what happens. Sometimes we're overwhelmed with fear, an unknown fear of the future. The doctor gives us a bad report, we begin to fear. Right away, we fear the worst. That's when we cry out to the Lord. His rod and his staff should comfort us. And then also in that fifth verse where he says, I remember the days of old. Then he says, I meditate on all thy works. So I'm not just going to remember the time that you helped me face Goliath, or you helped me when I came face to face with the executioner because of my sin. I'm not just going to remember those times. I'm going to meditate upon those times. I'm going to pause. I'm going to think deeply. That when I step down in that valley against Goliath, I'm going to meditate upon how big he was, how much taller he was, how better armed he was. I'm going to meditate upon this and see you as greater. See you as stronger. What do we do when we're overwhelmed? We cry unto the Lord. We tell him of all our troubles. We remember how he has helped us in the past and go beyond just remembering, but also meditate upon them. And then also in that 143rd chapter, verse 6, he says, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. I will praise you. Okay? I will worship you. I will thank you for your deliverances in the past and in the present. I will praise you. I will lift up my hands. And then he also says, my soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. You know, many people, and I've been guilty of that too, when the soul is overwhelmed, to let God know of our troubles, tell him our complaints. But then David says, I thirst after him. If you really want to be rescued, as David was seeking refuge and rescue from that which overwhelmed him, we have to also thirst after God, not just after deliverance. Remember Pharaoh, plagued by frogs, he said, Moses, pray that God take the frogs away. That's all he wanted. That's a sign of a hard heart. Just take my problems away. I heard a preacher the other day, and he had a congregation of about 5,000 people in Africa. And said, what draws all these people out there? And his prayer was, Lord, take all their problems away. And he kept praying, Lord, take their problems away. And I'm saying, well, we need problems. Man that is born of woman, his days are short and full of trouble, full of problems. In the world you have affliction, said Jesus. You're going to have problems. That's what was drawing those people out. Take the frogs away, Lord. Take all the plagues away from their lives. And God doesn't do that. He takes sin away. He takes cowardice away. He takes covetousness away. He takes our laziness away. When my spirit is overwhelmed within me, I cried unto the Lord. You know, David did something here quite common. To go back to that 142nd chapter. See, David knew that the Lord was his refuge. In the Psalms, in the King James Version, I think it's about 20 times David calls the Lord his refuge or a refuge. In other translations like the NIV, it's 40 times he uses the word the Lord is my refuge or a refuge. In the Amplified Version, it's over 50 times. So David knows the Lord is his refuge, a strong refuge, a safe refuge, a tower of refuge. David knows this, but yet he commits a common error that we commit. In that fourth verse of chapter 142, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me, and refuge failed me, and no man cared for my soul. He knew God was his refuge, and yet he's looking for refuge in man. And he says, that refuge failed me. There was no refuge there. There's no refuge in our family. There's no refuge in the church. Our only refuge is in Christ. He's the refuge for those who are fleeing temptation. A person who is seeking refuge is called a what? A refugee. That's what a refugee is. They're seeking refuge. David is a refugee. We are refugees. So David looks for man, and he says, that refuge has failed me. And then he says, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. A common mistake. We know God is our refuge. The cross is our refuge. And yet we look to friends. We look when we're lonely. We look to entertainment as this is our refuge. There's only one refuge for loneliness, for fear, for temptation, for worry. Only one refuge. And that's Jesus Christ. There is no other refuge. So when our soul is overwhelmed, we have to cry unto the Lord. We tell him of our troubles. We remember what he's done for us in the past. We meditate upon those things. We praise him and thank him for those past victories. And we will thank him for the future victories. But we also have to thirst after him. It'd be a great insult to God just to want his provision, his deliverance, but not him. It's like a woman marrying a husband. I want your money, but not you. I want your nice house, but not you. We have to thirst after him. And there's more we have to do. We thirst after him. Psalm 143, verse 6 and 7. My soul thirsts after thee. Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit fails. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like them that go down into the pits. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. In thee do I trust. In thee do I put my faith. You know, we don't put our faith in our prayers. We don't put our faith in our biblical knowledge. We don't put our faith in any ability that we have. Our faith is only in him. In thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. I trust you that you will deliver my soul. You will show me the way in which to go. And then in verse 9, deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. I take flight to thee. Okay. David is not just praying, Lord, deliver my soul from that which is overwhelming me. And he just waits. But he takes flight. That's what a refugee does. A refugee takes flight. Okay. He grabs the nearest boat or the plane or the vehicle, whatever is possible to get him to his destination, his refuge. And so David takes flight. I flee unto thee to hide me. And then he says, teach me to do thy will. Teach me to do thy will. You know, sometimes we're overwhelmed because it's allowed by God, because we're not doing his will. There have been times in my life when fear has overwhelmed me, or worry, or depression. It's because I was straying outside the will of God. Outside the will of God, anything can overwhelm you. The smallest thing can overwhelm you. You can run when nothing's chasing you. And so David here knows that he could be overwhelmed by fear or worry or some sin because he's not doing the will of God, not living in the will of God. So he prays there, teach me to do thy will. In order to escape that overwhelming pressure, we have to do this. We have to pray, Lord, teach me to do your will. For thou art my God, thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. It's okay to ask God to bring us out of trouble. It's fine. David did it. Lord, my soul's in trouble. My health's in trouble. My finances are in trouble. I cried unto the Lord. It's all right to cry unto him for that. As long as we say, Lord, teach me to do your will. Bring my soul out of trouble, he said. And of thy mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. All that was overwhelming him could have been individuals or problems in his life. He says, Lord, cut off my enemies. I don't want to stay in this state of being overwhelmed by fear. Fear is one of our enemies. Depression is an enemy. Cut off my enemies, Lord. I don't want to live this kind of life. And of thy mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul. For I am thy servant. Here's the last thing that we have to do. Lord, I am thy servant. I am your slave. I wait upon you as a handmaiden waits upon the orders of her mistress, or a slave upon his master. I am your servant. And here's how David overcame that which was overcoming him. Again, hopefully you've written some of these down. Number one, you cry unto the Lord. You tell him of your troubles. Remember his acts of mercy upon your life in the past. Meditate upon those acts of mercy. Praise him for what he's done. Thank him for what he will do. Thirst after him. Not just cry after him. Thirst after him. Trust him. Trust him. Pray, Lord, teach me. Teach me to do your will. For I am thy servant. Yes, David committed the all too common error, looking outside of God for his refuge. You know, David said, if I had the wings of a dove, I would fly into the wilderness and be at rest. David had this longing to be rid of his troubles, to no longer be overwhelmed. And there he admits he would fly into the wilderness. Like Elijah, the great prophet, when Jezebel threatened him, he fled into the wilderness, seeking refuge. There's only one refuge, And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we remember him today. He is a refuge from loneliness. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is the refuge from the fear of death. For he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever lives and believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Take refuge in that. Take refuge in him who is the resurrection and the life. For the thirsty soul, the hungering heart, hungering and thirsting after love and meeting, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Take refuge in that. He is the bread of life. I am the light of the world. Take refuge in him as the light of the world. He is the refuge against darkness. He is the refuge against all temptation. Let's remember his death right now and suffering. And I trust you will not commit that same error that David did and look to humankind or look to the church for your refuge. In fact, even the sacraments are not a refuge to us. Even the provisions that God makes for us. You know, when Elijah was running from Jezebel, he was in the wilderness, an angel appeared to him and made him a dinner. Well, shouldn't we take refuge in the provision of God? No, the Apostle Paul said, I've been naked, I've been hungry, I've been thirsty, I've been beaten, I've been shipwrecked, I've been alone. No, we can enjoy his provision, but that's not our refuge either. Our refuge is in him alone. Let's remember that. We don't have to look anywhere else for refuge for the soul. Let's just pray. Father, there is but one refuge. And may we be the refugees that seek this refuge. Not just one time in our life, but every day. You are our refuge when the devil comes to tempt us. When we're feeling discouraged, you are the refuge of hope. You are the refuge of life. We don't have to look elsewhere. The world offers us no refuge. It's in Christ alone. And the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, passed it among his disciples. Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Take and eat in remembrance of him. He is our refuge. And after the same manner also, he took the cup, passed it among his disciples. we need to ask you for forgiveness, for seeking refuge in man, in pleasure, seeking refuge in this world, when you are the only refuge we need. There is no refuge out in the world. Forgive us, Lord. Yes, after the same manner also Jesus took the cup, when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Drink in remembrance of him. I'd like us to stand and sing in closing. Number 710. It's in the hymn book, 710. "Jesus, lover of my soul, other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave all, leave me not alone, still support and comfort me. Other refuge have I none." Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the waters roll, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past, safe into the haven God. My soul at last. Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave, oh, leave me not alone. Still support and comfort me. Oh, my trust on thee is stayed. All my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing. Thou, O Christ, art all I want. More than all in thee I find. Raise the fallen, cheer the faint, heal the sick and lead the blind. Just and holy is thy name. I am all unrighteousness, false and full of sin I am. Thou art full of truth and grace. Plenteous grace with thee is found. Raised to cover all my sin. Let the healing streams abound. Make and keep me pure with thee. Thou of life the fountain art, freely let me take of thee. Spring thou up within my heart. Rise to all eternity. Start looking to the world for refuge from our depressions and our loneliness and our fears, we end up drinking downstream rather than at the fountainhead. When you drink downstream, you know, you never know what's bathing upstream, do you? What animal is defecating in the water? That's what happens when we begin to look to the world for a refuge. We're drinking downstream. But as Charles Wesley said here, "Thou of life the fountain art, freely let me take of thee. Spring thou up within my heart, rise to all eternity." Drink at the fountain, drink at the source. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you You have made it so very simple, though not easy. The gospel is simple. There is one source of life. There is one fountainhead. There is one refuge for our weary souls. One refuge for the fearful. One refuge for the sinful. One refuge for the confused and perplexed. One refuge for the beleaguered, the worn out, the weary, for the dead and the blind. One refuge is so simple. But yet, Lord, it's not easy to stop looking to the world for refuge. It's not easy to stop trusting in man for our help. Simple but not easy. Oh Lord, may we embrace it in faith and realize there is but one refuge. Other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee. Pray this in the name of Jesus, our only refuge. Amen.